Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
What are the odds that Jerry Jeudy wins Offensive Rookie of the Year? What are the odds that Drew Lock wins MVP?
What are the odds somebody stole my lunch? Can we be
there? Talk to me.
I'm not happy.
So we have a, and we'll get to these odds here in a second, but we have a like a cooperation with like a delivery service for our building that we're in a big like office building here in the tech center that we share with like a bank and a doctor's office and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's just a big building.
Whatever.
We get food delivered here.
It's a food delivery service.
It's got a cart downstairs.
Yeah, they drop off your food and you go downstairs in the basement.
My food's not there. Get an email, food's here, right? Food that has arrived. I order food all the time.
Yeah, well, almost every day.
Right. And never had that happen before. Sometimes people grab it for you in your building. You know, like if I see your stuff down there, I grab it. But it's supposed to be here 30 minutes ago. I just went down there twice just to make sure I'm not going crazy, you know. And I went down there twice. It ain't on the cart. And it's not around here.
So someone legitimately just took your food?
Or either the guy didn't put it there. One or the other. The guy just didn't put it there and said he did, or somebody took it.
I think the latter's more likely.
Somebody took it.
Somebody
they got video
it.
Down there.
They do have video.
I just got to find the video.
Got to find the vid.
Got to find who has the video.
You gotta see who was the Kemba Sivirland, the Seahawks rookie that just got cut for sneaking a woman into their hotel.
Yes.
There's video.
They're young men, and they have urges.
Oh, wow.
Well, I have one chicken tender left for mine that I was going to offer Steven.
Yeah, you can give it to Steven. I'd just rather just be pissed the whole rest of the show. And hungry.
But
screw it.
But I don't. I want you to be happy.
Nah, I just prefer to just be pissed. I don't know. That's just the mood I want to be in right now, I guess.
I've had one time someone took a piece of my
sushi gate.
Sushi gate.
I remember that. You put it in the refrigerator, it was sushi gate.
And one time someone
one
took
piece.
Half of my sandwich. I had two sandwiches, but I put them in different bags because I was going to eat one on my way to the golf course, eat one for lunch. Uh-huh. They took half.
That was in this refrigerator?
In this refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
In both instances.
I remember sushi gate. That was a good one.
How do you take one piece of my sushi, dude?
Yeah, they just wanted to try it out.
My buddy, a couple months ago had a six pack on the front seat of his car and he went into a store, but he left his door open. Someone opened his door and took one Lucy beer.
No, just one.
Left him five. They're like, look, I really want this beer, but I don't want to really hurt you. So I'm just going to take one. I'm like,
didn't even take all. Just took one.
It's like, you know, I actually can respect that
right.
A little bit.
A nice thief.
Right.
A good thief.
That's better than the mean thief.
I mean, at least whoever took my, I couldn't wait for it, too, by the way. My barbecue sandwich.
Oh, gosh.
Couldn't wait for it.
Did you order
it.
The PK again?
Yes. And so I at least leave me half of it, right?
Right. Take half and leave me half. Oh, my gosh.
Can't wait to see the video.
That's
going to
be interesting.
We got to find the video.
Yep.
Got to find the video.
Yep.
Raj, find the video. Let's go.
You've been wronged. Someone stole from you.
Yes. And I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I've had a banana all day. I need a Snickers.
If you are a food supplier, we are at 7800 East Orchard Road on the fourth floor. If you want to come bring Stokes some food.
I'll be all right. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Playoff,
can't get up here.
Playoff odds for the Broncos. Let's just start there.
All right. Let's go. I love this. This is my favorite. I'm back in a good mood now because I love doing this stuff.
Okay. At this time last year, the Broncos were plus 500 to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Meaning if you put $100 down,
you'd win five.
You'd win five. They'd give you your 100 back and 500 more.
That's right.
This time around?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
So where are the Broncos at for playoff odds?
Playoff odds.
How about plus 275?
Plus 180.
Oh.
Meaning
almost went 300 plus yeah, 180, right.
Meaning they are significantly more likely to make the playoffs than last year, even what you just suspected.
Not even close.
Not right. even close.
Last year to this year, to what I said, I mean, it's
almost nearly like 2.5 times more likely to make the playoffs this year than last year. With Joe Flacco and the construct of 2019, this year, the experts who don't give a darn about my opinion, any hot take from Colin Coward. They don't care. They look at it without emotion, pragmatically. Plus 180. I mean, you lay down $100, you get that 100 back plus 180 bucks. It's not some grand return.
Right, right. It's not huge odds in your favor.
Nope. But that's good news.
Yes.
That's good news if you're a Denver Broncos fan. Drew Locke to win the MVP. And shout out Nick Kosmider from The Athletic. I'm basing these numbers off a piece that he wrote, and he's a buddy of mine, does really good work, and is now covering the Broncos now that Nicky left. The Athletic has assigned Nick Kosmider, used to cover the Nuggets, is now covering the Broncos. Drew Locke to win MVP. Give me a guess.
To win?
MVP.
Of a, plus 5,000.
Plus 6,000.
Okay.
Lay down 100 bucks. If he wins it, they'll give you that 100 back and give you $6,000.
Okay.
Whew.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay, this one's interesting. I would think that's going to be about a plus 450.
Plus 1,600.
Oh. I wouldn't think there'd be a ton of people in front of him for offense. Well, you got the quarterbacks.
You got the quarterbacks.
I totally forgot about the quarterbacks. I was thinking about the Hilaire from Kansas City as probably being the favorite. And
he's in there.
About the quarterbacks.
Yeah, you got your Joe Burrows, your Tua Tagovailoas, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But apparently, this is some of the best wide receiving odds for the wideout position specifically to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in a couple years. So, although it's a long shot, the fact that he's that much in the mix as a wide receiver is a really good sign, according to what the experts expect him to do in year one. Bradley Chubb, comeback player of the year. Give me a guess. Or do you got a text you want to read?
Yeah, somebody's saying they can bring me some tuna fish over. They know how much I love tuna fish. I got to give a shout out to my guy, Dusty. He said he's in the parking lot. He got an apple for me if I want it. Appreciate you, Dusty. I'm good, buddy. But I appreciate that. It's in a Ziploc, he said, not touch. Certainly appreciate the offer. How nice is that?
That's very nice.
How nice is that?
But I have a question. Who keeps an apple in a Ziploc bag?
Still in a Ziploc. Yeah, I guess he doesn't want it rolling around somewhere, getting all dirty and stuff. So you put it in the Ziploc so it stays clean.
Okay. I guess if it was just like loose hanging around.
Yeah,
okay.
Like you put it in your car or whatever, and you just you put it.
Typically, like an apple's part of like something bigger that goes in a lunch bag or something.
Maybe just got an apple, but I appreciate that.
Bradley Chubb, comeback player of the year. Give me a guess.
Comeback player of the year. I think we might have done this one before.
We did.
And I was like, ooh, that's a good one to maybe take a flyer on.
It still is.
It is. Plus 1,200.
Plus 3,300.
Wow. Holy cow.
So here's my question to you.
How much do you want to do? Let's go. What are we going to do?
If got to wait till the AB season, a series closes. if you were, you had 10 minutes to kill in Las Vegas, your plane takes off in an hour, and you're going to throw $25 on some. Actually, you don't have to be in Vegas anymore. It's legal here in Colorado.
That's right.
What's your favorite for a $25 wager?
Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And then I'll go Jerry Jeudy, then the Broncos making the playoffs, and then last would be the Drew Locke Flyer.
That's
how I would rank them. Would you keep Jeudy in front of, because you like Chubb the most also?
I like Chubb the most.
And then how would you rank it after Chubb?
I'll go Chubb. Did you throw the playoffs in there?
I did all four of them. You weren't paying attention. But you give me your list. I'll tell you if it's the same or not since you weren't paying attention.
Oh, gosh.
It's once a day now. It's all right.
I went back and listened to that manatee section yesterday. Right. I was laughing my head off last night.
Is that Nick? Yes, Nick the manatee. Nick the manatee, you adopted him, and then you abandoned him. I mean, how do you adopt a manatee and then abandon him? You don't even know how he's doing. Nick.
Chubb, comeback player of the year. Playoff odds, Jeudy, Locke.
Okay, I had 2 and 3 switched. I got Jeudy at 2 and then Broncos.
Because of the big return?
No, I think that's probably more likely.
Jerry, Jerry Jeudy winning Offensive Player of the Year is more likely than the Broncos.
Oh, I thought you said rookie.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah. You think that's more likely than the Broncos Nick in the playoffs?
Yeah, Jerry Judy's a stud.
Dude.
Put some respect on that.
So Jerry Jeudy winning Offensive Rookie of the Year is more likely than the Broncos making the playoffs.
I thought we did. We just do this?
Yes. Yeah, I just want to hear you say
yes
it again.
Twice.
Because I can't believe your response.
Yes, a third time. Yes. Do you want me to say it again?
Yes. One more time.
Jerry Jeudy winning Offensive Rookie of the Year is more likely than the Broncos making the playoffs this year.
You are out of your mind.
You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
And appreciate all the RamosLaw.com texts coming in about bringing me food. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I just want to be hungry. I want to be hungry because it makes me a little bit upset, and I want to be upset about whoever stole my food.
Who has ever said that? I want to be hungry.
Because
and Gandhi, that's it. That's the list.
Because it makes me mad, and I'm upset at the person that stole my food. If I start eating food, then I'll forgive the person. I'm not forgiving that person.
Training camp 2020 locked and loaded.
No forgiveness here, buddy.
Well, our free limited edition shirts are back for another year. Just stay in your car. We'll be having contactless T-shirt toss giveaways right into your vehicle. Head to 1043thefan.com/shirt to find the Brakes Plus location closest to you. Our first giveaway is today. Kendall, I think, did it this morning.
Yes. We had a RamosLaw.com text, and I was going to read it, but said they got a shirt and said it was unbelievable. Said awesome shirt. I wanted to read it. It's the dry fit material.
Really nice.
Locked
and loaded.
Yeah, it's really nice shirts.
And I'll tell you what, if Drew Locke goes on to be a star, you're going to look back and you're going to be thankful you got that shirt in his first year as a starter. Hit up 1043thefan.com/shirt. And find out the next Brakes Plus location closest to you.
Really easy. You ride by, they just throw it in the car. You don't have to get out.
That's it.
You don't even get out. They're going to throw it in the car.
Love it. Okay.
Glad Zach's not throwing. He'd miss it. He'd get all dirty.
Got some breaking NFL news. And it
just picked up my shirt, fellas. These things are slick. There it is. All right. Didn't put a name on it. I'd give him a shout out.
Got some breaking NFL news that directly affects the Denver Broncos. And it ain't good. Details next.
We're getting some good stuff coming in here. How about my man Bobcat? Bobcat Tim. We got a Bearcat Jim. This guy just nicknamed, but I give those nicknames, Tim. I don't know if you're Bobcat Tim or not, but he said, I ate your sandwich, Stoke, and it tastes even better knowing it's yours. Somebody stole my sandwich if y'all just joining us from the food cart down in the basement here, and can't find it. I got a couple suspects. You know, Raj right now, our boss here, has got his door closed with the blinds covering the little window area.
Oh, like he's in an important meeting.
Right, but I think he's eating my sandwich. Because he was in there when I came in here. He kind of, you know, started getting a little flustered and kind of went out of here quickly, you know. So he's a candidate.
I guess Tyler Palumbis says, you know, like our old big fella buddy would say, anything in the fridge is up for grabs.
Yeah.
But this is different.
Yeah, this is in the.
This is a brand new lunch, like that was unopened, untouched, just paid for.
Right. That's left on the food cart in the building. You know, you don't touch the food cart.
You shouldn't.
And we don't have a lot of people in here right now to begin with.
No.
So it's not like this place is, you know, really, really busy. Gonna get the video. Gonna get the video. Gonna find a video. We're gonna figure this thing out.
This is gonna be hilarious.
Gonna figure this thing out. Hey, I guarantee you the video is probably not working. Oh, it got cut off right then in that time period. Something, it's gonna be a conspiracy theory.
Got Epstein.
Yes. Yes. That's what's gonna happen.
Got some news for Broncos country. I said going in the break, it ain't good. The Chiefs and Travis Kelce. Married.
Married.
This is coming from
Adam. No longer just good dating.
This is the real deal. Here we go. Jeremy Fowler. The Travis Kelce deal with the Chiefs is now done. This is just 12 minutes ago. More than $14 million per year on average, with just under $25 million in guarantees per source. With 2 years left on previous deal, Kelce gets security to finish out his storied career. Patrick Mahomes tweeting, six more years, with a gif of he and Kelce colliding heads. He says, in celebration, Schefter tweets 6 minutes ago, compensation update. Chiefs are giving Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce a four-year, $57 million extension that ties him to Kansas City for the next 6 years, per source.
Look, they're just, they're, you know, right now, they're just, after they hit that grand slam with Mahomes, now they're just, you know, locking these other guys up, Chris Jones, Kelce, and just
Tyreek Hill last offseason,
yeah,
right?
Just doing a really nice job of getting out in front of it. And I don't know how many years Kelce had left on his deal. He had two. So just getting out in front of it, right? And not having to come to a stalemate where he's mad, he's upset, he deserves to be paid more. You're getting out in front of these things, and you're getting a discount on them. Really, it's going to be a discount. I mean, you look at Kittle just got paid a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And so it's really a win-win. Kelce gets more money. He gets that guaranteed money, and he gets more security. And then Chiefs get that security also and get a little bit of a bargain.
Yeah. That's what it feels like, man. This does feel like a bargain.
Yeah.
Another one.
Right.
Yeah. Another one. Sound like Khaled. Just now from Schefter, he said, full Travis Kelce deal, four-year, $57.25 million. That includes $28 million in guarantees. That's just now. So, man, if you would have told me, where does Travis Kelce stack up in terms of one of the best tight ends you've ever seen?
Ever seen?
Ever seen.
Oh, I don't know about all that, but right now he's, you know, top three guy. I'm not just going to go through all these great tight ends, but he's a top three guy right now. You know, you look at Kittle, him.
Waller, Ertz.
They got some good ones, and he's right up there. Game in and game out. He could be number one. He could be two. So
yeah, just depends.
He's really, really good. And he's a difference maker.
No doubt.
But, you know, so all the people out there that thought, Patrick Mahomes gets signed, the Chiefs are screwed. We told you that's not how it's going to go.
There you go.
If they want to spend the money, they'll find ways to spend the money. And guess what? They wanted to spend the money. You structure these things out and you put it back to the, you know, the future a little bit more. And it's not a hard thing to do. And they've gotten some big deals done even after the Mahomes deal.
It was a lie. It always was a lie.
Yes.
As soon as they sign Mahomes, they're not going to be able to operate their franchise moving forward. Everyone's going to hit. Oh, you know, once they win a Super Bowl, they check that box and they go somewhere else and get paid. Nope, that's not what's happening. And it doesn't give me any pleasure in saying that. But the Tyreek Hills, the Travis Kelce, literally, if you were going to rank the most impactful members of the Kansas City Chiefs, it would probably go in whatever order you wanted to put it in. It would probably go Mahomes, Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, where they're all locked up within the past 365 days.
Yep.
So it's an unfortunate set of circumstances because they're really good players, and we're not shying away from saying that, and they're not going anywhere.
No. So it just makes it tougher, and we knew that Kelce wasn't going to be going anywhere in the next couple years anyway. Right, Tyreek Hill just signed that big extension last offseason. So their nucleus is going to be together, you know, for the next few years anyway. It is what it is. Hey, look, they got a really good team. We got to go beat them.
Yep.
We got to find a way to compete with them and beat them.
That's it.
And build this thing the right way.
That's it.
And it ain't all about the Chiefs, though. It ain't all about the Chiefs, okay? So let's not think we're doing everything just for the Chiefs. That's not how we're operating. We're operating to be a good football team and it ain't all about outscoring the Chiefs, Zach.
Cannot tell me that after looking at the Broncos draft.
Are we going down this road right now?
They did not have the Chiefs in mind. I do not believe if the Denver Broncos were in the AFC East.
I don't think that this draft was about the Chiefs.
Even though they told you that.
I don't think this draft was about the Chiefs.
All right.
This draft was about upgrading this offense and helping Drew Lock out. If you're drafting for one team, you're making a mistake. Because of one team, you're making a mistake. That's my view because...
You got 14 other games on the schedule.
Yes. And, you know, yes, they're the big bad bully right now, but you still can do great things without even having to beat them.
Sure. I agree with you. It's not all about Kansas City, but I think some things were done with them in mind.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And I was in that situation with Indy, and a lot of things were done in mind in that division of slowing down Peyton Manning.
I remember.
And that offense.
I remember. I remember when, gosh, and I forget who it was, a general manager of the Houston Texans when they had, like, the number one pick in the draft.
Probably Rick Smith. Might have been who it was.
Okay. He said that it was when they drafted Mario Williams. Did he go number one?
I believe he did.
NC State?
Yes, I believe he did.
He said, we have Peyton Manning in our division.
Yeah.
We have to slow Peyton Manning down. So, all right. Hey, Kittle and Kelsey both get paid on the same day.
How about that?
How about that? Hey, and this is coming from the Athletic NFL's Twitter account. Kelsey got paid. Kittle got paid. You're on your own 20-yard line. You got 2 minutes, and you need a touchdown to win a Super Bowl. Who do you want lined up at tight end, Kelsey or Kittle?
Give me Kittle. I don't know. He's got nasty.
He is nasty.
The Saints play. You know, you just think about that play on fourth down, catches it and runs for 30 and dragging people, face mask ripped off. And
crazy. Crazy.
You can't really pick a wrong one, though.
No, you can't. Okay, the Houston Astros cheating scandal has taken another twist.
Oh, I love it.
So do I. We'll get into it next. This Houston Astros story and just the narrative around it. And you had the Joe Kelly instance. Well, Joe Kelly, and I saw this in the Buster Olney article on ESPN.com this morning on the front page. In Joe Kelly's eyes, the Houston Astros players who received immunity from discipline in return from cooperating with Major League Baseball investigation sacrificed their managers, coaches, and team executives who took the hit for the players' transgressions. Kelly made his comments, talking about the Dodgers pitcher that did the pouty face, chucked it at Bregman's head. Kelly made his comments as a guest on The Big Swing, a podcast hosted by teammate Ross Stripling. These quotes are pretty, just listen. He says, quote, "The people who took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone is involved. But the way that the sign-stealing system was run over there was not from coaching staff. They're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they go do is snitch like a little beep, and they don't get fined, and they don't have to lose games." Now, Kelly was not a member of the Dodgers in 2017 when the Astros beat L.A. to win the World Series, but in 2018, Kelly did pitch for Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who had been Houston's bench coach. Cora was implicated in the findings of the sign-stealing investigation and was suspended for the 2020 season, along with Houston Astros manager A.J. Hinch, Houston general manager Jeff Lunau, and veteran slugger Carlos Beltran, who had been hired to manage the New York Mets in 2020. Cora, Hinch, Lunau, and Beltran all lost their jobs following the releasing of the findings. Quote, this is Joe Kelly. Quote, "When you take someone's livelihood to save your own bleep, that's what I don't like. Cheating? They cheated. Everyone knows they're cheaters. They know they're cheaters. It's over. That's been there, done that. But now they mess it up by ruining other people's lives. So they bleeped with it twice. When you taint someone's name to save your own name, this is one of the worst things that you could probably do. That really friggin' bugs me. I think I'll be irritated forever." Kelly spoke about how much he cared about Alex Cora and how Cora's life has been changed by the fallout. "Cora would love to explain what happened," Kelly said. Quote, "But he hasn't, because he's a respectable man. So when the Astros lie, that doesn't sit right with me. Maybe they have called Cora," he said, "and, hey, I'm sorry." Or call Lunau and said, "Hey, I'm sorry," or called Hinch and Beltran. "If they had said, hey, I'm super scared. I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose money. I had to rat. Grow a pair of bleep and say that." Kelly said he didn't want to talk to the Astros players, quote, because they're not respectable men to me. As for his suspension, Kelly said he thought it was, quote, crazy in the face of what happened on the field. Kelly didn't hit anybody and wasn't ejected or even warned by plate umpire Alfonso Marquez. Quote, it blows my mind still. It's so upsetting. Kelly said MLB's contention that he incited the Astros to leave their dugout with his actions is, quote, completely bull bleep. Quote, I socially distanced. I walked away. I didn't get close, and I followed all the guidelines of the CDC, and people on the other side didn't. They walked out of their dugout, walked towards us. Carlos Correa effing spit at our team. I don't know if it was at me. He spit out of his mouth. This guy walks over to our dugout and then spits while I follow all the rules and I get 8 games. They have a manager and Dusty Baker on their side verbatim yelling at me, get your skinny little bleep on the mound. So my cuss words get 8 games and his cuss words get 0. That makes complete sense, right? Welcome to planet Earth, a debacle, end quote.
Wow.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot of good stuff there. I really liked how he put it all together. And not even talking about his ejection, but going back to the Astros and the players getting off scot-free and getting immunity, and they bringing everybody else down. And the fall guys are the manager, the general manager, the manager for the Red Sox, and the manager for the Mets, all part of, you know, that coaching, all coaches and one general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's the players that run that ship. It's the players that are the engine behind the cheating. It wasn't the coaches, and maybe they turned a blind eye to it, but it was the players, and the players get off scot-free, and they throw everybody under the bus, everybody else under the bus. And these guys are all fall guys for it. I mean, really, Alex Cora, I mean, he's going to pay the price. Well, it's just they have to. They have to go overboard here. Carlos Beltran, same thing. And so it's really a shame. Major League Baseball really screwed this thing up. The more and more you hear and more you see and more they baby the Astros and let them get away with everything, they've really, really screwed this up. And it's awful for baseball how they handle this. And these guys should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I hope they are. And you want to know what makes it even worse slash better, depending on how you look at it, that Jose Altuve has responded to this whole thing by hitting 187 this year.
Yeah.
It makes me question everything he's ever done now.
You have to.
Even if he was on the up and up for half his career, like A-Rod with no steroids or Barry Bonds with no steroids, like, was it all tainted? No, but now I don't know where to try to definitively say when you weren't and when you were.
You know, it's the whole thing of, like you said, taking steroids. If you get popped once, well, when were you taking them? When did you start? Like, everything becomes, your whole career becomes in question. And then the whole thing with the Athletics and Astros, you know, that scuffle, right?
Yeah.
When that guy got hit twice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce his name. Ramon Laureano?
Good enough.
Close enough. He got suspended 6 games. And the hitting coach for the Astros, of course. Now, the hitting coach, they suspended him 20 games
because
he's the one that instigated the thing.
Right.
So he instigated it. This guy got hit twice, and then he starts going after the guy, and nothing really happened. The guy just got tackled. He gets suspended 6 games.
Unbelievable.
What did the pitcher get for the Astros? I don't see anything for the pitcher.
I don't. You know who we're going to be joined by? In just a couple minutes. Very, very, very rarely does a wide receiver go number one in the NFL draft. The last time it happened was 1996. The guy who got drafted number one as a wide receiver went on to have a great career. We all know his name. He's going to join us at 2:15.
Love it.
Okay?
Love it.
In the meantime, Mike Liss, what an incredible story that he wrote about the new Broncos right tackle. I'm telling you guys, you have got to hear this. We'll fill you in next. DeMar Dotson is the new right tackle for the Denver Broncos. Mike Liss. Mike, not sure if you were listening. Probably weren't because I took a little shot at you. I figured I would have got a text message from you. But you did.
Oh.
But you did a great job, man. I'll tell you what, I gave you a bunch of credit in hour number one. You did a great job with your piece on 9news.com based off your interview with DeMar Dotson. This, at once upon a time, a young man who never played football, was a basketball player at Southern Miss. After his after a game, he after his 4-year career, by the way, he was a basketball player for 4 years at Southern Miss, and he goes into the football coach's office and says, "I want to play football." With it, with the NCAA, you can get 5 years between two different sports. So he was able to have one more year eligibility. He walks onto the football team. He plays defensive line. He goes undrafted, of course, because he'd made very little impact and didn't play a ton. But Dom Green, a scout for, it was the Jets, I believe.
He's with the Jets now.
He's with the Jets now.
He was with Tampa Bay then.
So he's with Tampa Bay then and says, he looks at the 6'9 dude who's never played offensive line and says, you know what? We like former basketball players. Let's try to have him play tackle. The dude shows up in basketball sneakers to the 2009 tryout. You can't make it up. He goes to the equipment room. They said, wait, what size are your feet? 18? Bro, we don't have size 18 cleats for you. Here's some 16s. He goes two sizes too small. His feet hurt so bad in the two-a-day practices that between the practices, he cuts his toes out and is playing NFL football, getting his feet stepped on. The guy turns out to be an 11-year starter. This is one of the most incredible stories I have ever heard, Mike.
Really is. Really is. As I was talking to him, I kept saying it. And actually, Zach, as I was writing the story, I did say, the thought went through my mind, believe it or not. Zach Bye might appreciate this story. And
are you
I
serious?
Didn't even appreciate it that much.
That's awesome.
You know, you're a basketball player, you know, who knows a thing or two about football, at least from noon to three, with Stokely sitting there with you. But
there you go.
It was quite a story. The guy said, "Now, is the myth true about you walking into the football office?" And he told me this story, and I said, "And the myth also true that you show up in basketball sneakers?" And so he told me the whole story, and really a fascinating guy. You know, there's not a whole lot of 6'9" players in the NFL anyway. He's got to be right there. I don't know if there's ever been a 7-footer. I suppose you'd have to look that up. Maybe back in the day, one of those innovative guys had a 7-foot tight end or something, for the red zone. But, he wound up making a heck of a career. He had two contract extensions with Tampa Bay. Now, he gave team discounts both times. But still, a team discount in the NFL is real good money to you and me in the real world. And so he's done quite well for himself. And he was a little disappointed that they let him go as Tom Brady was coming to town.
Yeah.
You know, in 11 years, he hasn't been in a playoff game.
Wow, yeah.
But he's not ready to hang him up. And so he's willing, even though he has a wife and four kids, he's willing to keep on keeping on for a 12th year with the Broncos.
I love it. Great story, Mike. Great job. Great article. I think it was a good signing. I like this type of signing, even if he doesn't play for me, even if he's not the starter. Just that veteran presence, being able to mentor a guy like Elijah Wilkinson and help him out, but also maybe impart some wisdom on Garrett Bowles. So it's not just him coming in and thinking he's going to be the starting right tackle. I think being that veteran presence that if Elijah struggles, you got this guy that you know will do a serviceable job, but also his leadership qualities. And that really came out in that article, is what type of leader he is.
Yeah, and he's willing to do both. Now, he's not conceding.
Sure.
You know, he said he's used to playing on Sundays, and that's what he likes to do. But he is, and I know a lot of people were excited about this signing, thinking that he would be the day one starter, and Elijah Wilkinson will go back to the swing guy. And that may eventually happen, but that's not the plan. Dotson is a little beat up. He was showing signs of being a little beat up the last year and a half with Tampa Bay. Maybe a little bit like Ron Leary at guard with the Broncos had. You know, he could give you – Ron Leary could give you 10 games. He couldn't give you 16.
Right.
And that's maybe what they have here with DeMar Dotson. He's got those basketball knees. You know, those might not have looked clean as a whistle on the MRI when they brought him in for the physical. But he does have something left. And I think maybe 5 or 6 games as a starter, and then be ready in a pinch. I think that's what they're looking for out of Dotson.
Yeah, and it's something like it's a measure of necessity. Like the Broncos needed to do this just to add some depth. And I've heard you say, I believe on social media, that the Broncos do want Elijah Wilkinson to start. Is there going to be, you know, Dotson said, look, I'll do whatever they want me to do. They want me to play, I'll play. They want me to be a mentor, I'll be a mentor. He's saying all the right things. Sounds like a very mature 34-year-old man. But is there going to be a competition? Has that, like, been openly said? Or is it already Elijah Wilkinson's job?
Well, here's the thing about that is Elijah Wilkinson has been activated from the pup. But he's not 100% yet.
Ooh.
He's still going to need a week or two before he's 100%. So you never know with a guy coming off surgery, especially on the, the lower part of the legs there as he was. It was a high ankle sprain at the end of the last year, and he had the surgery, and he was saying it's a foot. So have to get some clarity exactly what the surgery was. I was told it was an ankle. But he, you know, those things, you know, sometimes you recover right away. Julius Thomas took 2 years before he became, before he shook it off and became a Pro Bowl, All-Pro tight end there in 2012 and 13 and 14 with, I guess it was 13 and 14 with Peyton Manning. So we'll see. They don't anticipate that being as big a problem for Wilkinson, in part because, you know, a right tackle can move while gimpy a little easier than a tight end can. But we'll have to see. There's no guarantees just because of Wilkinson, just because of his health right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Mike Kliss joining us here. Mike, what'd you make? Philip Lindsay talked this week, and you know, he said a lot of good things. He said he doesn't have to get the ball 15, 25 carries a game to be effective. What do you make of that dynamic, and do you think this thing's going to play out and be fine, or do you think there's going to be some issues here at some point when he gets 4 or 5 carries and he, you know, doesn't have that explosive play? How do you see this thing playing out between him and Melvin Gordon and the Broncos and the coaching staff?
Yeah, you know, I do want to see. First of all, Philip, every time he talks, you know, and whether it's on Zoom, that is one thing that I've missed. Don't like about Zoom is you can't see Philip bounce when he talks. You know, he's sitting there in that chair, and usually when he stands at the podium, he's bouncing around. I kind of like that bounce when he talks and smiles. But Philip always has something to say that makes you go, huh? Yeah, that way, Philip. And you know, he's still got that edge. I got the feeling there will be a game or two where he gets 4 or 5 carries and he's throwing his pads in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
and he storms out after the game without talking to the media.
Yep.
And I think there'll be games where maybe he's the hot hand and, Melvin Gordon saying, hey, as long as we win or whatever's the best for the team.
Right.
Melvin, I think, is going to have a more – even keel spirit about it. If for no other reason, he's getting $9 million.
Right. He's getting paid. Right. It's easy for him to say, yeah, all right, you know, all yeah. right. Yeah, Philip got most of the carries a day. I'm good. He's making 9 this
year. Yeah. Yeah. Philip is definitely. Philip, I can almost guarantee he's going to be the hungrier of the two. But I do think there's a chance Philip plays more on first down than we think. And I think Melvin Gordon will play all of third down, you know, the passing downs. So we'll see how we also, how they play him on first and second down, but because he can run too. But, you know, right now it is hard because Melvin Gordon is not a first or second down back. He is a complete back who is really, he really makes his money on third down. It's hard to see how Philip Lindsay's going to fit in with the touches. I'm sure he'll get touches. It's just going to be have to be something where maybe it has to be forced in the first couple games till they figure it out.
I'm listening to you, and I'm just thinking how this thing is going to play out. We had a similar conversation yesterday. Let me ask you this. On average, how often after the season's done, and you look at how many carries Philip got, how many carries a game do you think he'll average? I won't hold you to it.
Boy,
I won't hold you to it.
If they're both healthy,
yep.
If they're both healthy, I'm going to say he's going to average 7 carries a game.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.